Iran says human rights has turned into a political tool in the hands of world's arrogant powers to achieve their objectives. Iranian and Austrian foreign ministers underlined the need to find a political solution to the Syrian crisis. The so-called Friends of Syria group pledges more material support to the militants in the country. Afghan president bans operations of Afghan armed forces hired by US-led forces in the war-torn country. And bombings and terror attacks kill and injure dozens of people across Iraq. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, hello and welcome. I'm Ali Reza Madadi with the latest coming to you live from Tehran. First of all, Iran's judiciary head says the issue of human rights has turned into a political tool in the hands of the world arrogant powers to achieve their objectives. Ayatollah Sadegh Amuli Larijani said on Thursday that while Iran can spell out a large number of human rights concepts in a religious context, the West is incapable of undertaking such a task despite its liberal ideologies. Larijani also added that Western media outlets seek to silence Iran's voice on human rights. Iran's judiciary had also criticized West's sweet talk on human rights, stressing that certain Western countries cannot tolerate Iranian satellite television networks to make their voices heard. Ayatollah Amuli Larijani also pointed to the instrumental use of human rights issue by the hegemonic powers, saying all aspects of this colonial onslaught have to be brought into the light. Now, Iranian Foreign Minister Ali Akbar Salehi met with his Austrian counterpart on Thursday. Salehi, who is in Vienna to attend the fifth meeting of the United Nations Alliance of Civilizations, discussed regional and global developments, including the Syrian crisis, with his counterpart. Both foreign ministers underlined the need to find an immediate political solution to the ongoing crisis in the Arab country. Saleh also termed the outcome of the nuclear talks between Iran and the P5+1 group in Kazakhstan as very fruitful. For his term, Austrian foreign minister expressed his optimism regarding the prospect of talks between Iran and the group. The two foreign ministers also called for the exchange of visit by the two sides' officials to help broaden relations between the two countries. Now, the Iranian Deputy Foreign Minister for Arab and African Affairs has stressed the need for the establishment of regional security, saying that Iran is seeking security in the Persian Gulf through friendly relations with all countries. Hossein Amir Abdullahian said that having good relations with neighboring states is a strategic priority for Iran's foreign policy, adding that Tehran seriously strives to expand its relations with the Persian Gulf littoral states as well as Iraq. He said maintaining security in the Persian Gulf region through amicable relations with all countries is a basic principle of Iran's foreign policy. Now, the so-called Friends of the Syria group has held talks with the Syrian opposition in Rome, pledging more material support for militants in the country. The statement issued at the end of the meeting said that the ministers pledged more political and material support for the opposition coalition to get more concrete assistance inside Syria. The statement also underlined the need to change the balance of power on the ground. Prior to the meeting, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry and Syria's opposition leader Ahmad Moez al-Khatib discussed ways of boosting support for the militants. Kerry announced Washington's decision to give $60 million in a new bid to militants operating in the country. Now, inside Syria, a bomb attack hit eastern city of Deir ez-Zor as clashes between government forces and foreign-backed terrorists continued across the country. The number of casualties was not immediately clear. Meanwhile, the Syrian army managed to kill 22 militants in the capital, Damascus. Other reports say a number of Saudi Arabian and Libyan insurgents were also killed in the western city of Rastan in Homs province. In December 2012, the Sunday Times of London reported that the United States was launching a covert operation to send weapons to the armed groups fighting against the government forces in Syria. U.S. President Barack Obama also on December 11, 2012, declared that the U.S. officially recognized the Syrian opposition coalition as the sole legitimate representative of its country's people. Elsewhere in the Middle East, Afghan President Hamid Karzai has banned the operation of Afghan armed groups hired by U.S.-led forces in the war-torn country. Karzai issued a decree on Thursday and appointed a delegation assigned to ask foreign forces to hand over, within 3 months, the mentioned armed groups to Afghan security institutions. Meantime, a U.S.-led military base in Afghanistan has been heavily damaged in a rocket attack that took place in the south of the country. The attack caused serious damages to the heavily fortified Camp Bastion military base in Helmand province. The military base reportedly accommodates thousands of British, U.S., Danish, and Estonian troops. And before we continue, here is a recap of our top stories. Iran says human rights has turned into a political tool in the hands of world's arrogant powers to achieve their objectives. Iranian and Austrian foreign ministers underlined the need to find a political solution to the Syrian crisis. The so-called Friends of Syria group pledges more material support to militants in the country. Afghan president bans operation of Afghan armed groups hired by U.S.-led forces in the country. And bombings and terror attacks kill and injure dozens of people across Iraq. Two car bombs ripped off back-to-back in Baghdad on Thursday night, killing at least 23 people and wounding 30 others. The successive explosions happened in the mainly Shia-populated Shua district around dinner time. The first blast happened outside a restaurant and the second near a football stadium. The death toll could possibly rise as some of the wounded were in serious conditions. No group has so far claimed responsibility for the attacks. A total of 4 people were also killed and 27 wounded in separate shootings and bombings across Iraq on Thursday. Also, 2 members of Awakening Council group were killed when gunmen in their truck opened fire on a checkpoint. A car bomb also went off at a livestock market in the town of Azizia in southeast of Baghdad, wounding 14 people. In addition, 8 people were wounded when 2 roadside bombs exploded in the district of Shurta al-Rabia in the southwestern part of the capital. Now, protesters in Saudi Arabia have held a rally in the western region of Hejaz to protest against an increase in illegal detentions. Demonstrators took to the streets on Thursday, carrying placards and shouting slogans demanding the release of political prisoners. The rally is the latest in a growing wave of protests over the detention of a group of women and children in the central province of Al-Qassim. The group was arrested by regime forces while staging a sit-in outside Al-Safra prison on Monday, demanding that authorities release their relatives. Since February 2011, protesters have held demonstrations on an almost regular basis in Saudi Arabia, mainly in oil-rich eastern province. They were primarily calling for the release of political prisoners, freedom of expression and assembly, and an end to widespread discrimination. Now, an EU-based study says more than half of Portuguese people do not count themselves as Europeans and are not happy to be members of the European organization. My colleague from Lisbon has filed a report on the issue.
59% of Portuguese people identify themselves as Europeans, but only a minority claim to know their rights as European citizens. These data are part of a study made by the European Union to evaluate how European do citizens of this union feel. Ironically, it is with the concept of Europe that Portuguese people seem to be more disappointed with. According to the study, the biggest advantage is free movement of people and goods within the European Union. Still, 40% of Portuguese people doesn't see any benefits in belonging to this organization.
Portuguese people interaction with other European countries is one of the lowest inside Europe. Only 20% have visited another country, and a big part of the population never read a book, a magazine or a newspaper in a different language. Inês Sutil, Shabaka Kabar, Lisbon.
Still in Europe, official data show that Spain's economy shrank by 1.4% in 2012 as the country's rescued bank, Bankia, posted a record loss of over 19 billion euros for last year. The final gross domestic product, or the GDP contraction, presented on Thursday was the second worst slump since the beginning of the registry in 1970. Experts say that the GDP figure signals that the Spanish government's attempts to slash the public deficit and a 26.02% unemployment rate are not moving forward as quickly as predicted. The European Union has indicated it would like Spain to present an ambitious plan for financial reforms aimed at bringing down the public deficit. Spain must lower its budget deficit to 4.5% in 2013 and 2.8% in 2014. Economists, however, say those targets will be difficult to meet amid poor prospects for the economic recovery in the country. Now, Britain's Trade Unions Congress, or the TUC, has accused the government of taking the bankers' side ahead of the ordinary people, who are made to pay the price of bankers fully. The union said the Prime Minister and the Mayor of London are bringing people to the brink of financial ruin. British Prime Minister David Cameron has raised concerns over the EU proposals, saying that the new rules must allow international banks to keep competing and succeeding while being located in Britain.
We are absolutely clear that we must be able to implement the Vickers plan in the UK, which in some ways is tougher than regulations that are being put in place in other European countries. We want to have this proper ring fence between retail banks and investment banks, and the rules must allow that to happen. I think that is very important. The second thing is that we do have in the UK, and not every other European country has this, we have major international banks that are based in the UK but have branches and activities all over the world. And we need to make sure that regulation put in place in Brussels is flexible enough to allow those banks to continue competing and succeeding while being located in the UK. So we'll look carefully at what the outcome of the negotiations was before working out the approach we'll take at ECOFIN next week.
Now, at least 32 people have been killed by police in a fresh wave of violence that erupted in Bangladesh after a court sentenced an opposition leader to death. On Thursday, riot police opened fire on thousands of protesters who had gathered in the capital, Dhaka, to voice their outrage at the court's ruling. According to local sources, at least 300 protesters were also injured during the violent clashes. Earlier in the day, a special tribunal in Dhaka sentenced the vice president of the Jamaatul Islamiyah party to death for allegedly committing crimes during the country's war of independence against Pakistan in 1971. The verdict was announced in a packed courtroom, while the lawyers of the defendant banned the verdict session and rejected it as politically motivated. And finally, the World Health Organization has warned that people in areas worst affected by the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear disaster 2 years ago have a 4% higher risk of developing certain cancers. The report did not give data on the number of people who receive particular radiation doses, so it is not yet possible to estimate the overall health consequences. The report added that some one-third of emergency workers in the area were estimated to have increased risk of cancer.
If we take all solid cancers together, the increase will be 4%, and I repeat again, for the most affected areas, and an additional estimated risk that can be predicted over the already expected background rates of cancer that you will have in any type of population. The purpose of this report was not to say how many deaths or how many cancers or deaths caused by cancer are expected. The purpose of this report was saying, looking at the exposure and the doses to which people has been exposed, what is the risk that we can expect as an increase over the baseline one or the so-called natural one. And I think this is more human than trying to predict how many people will die from cancer.
Well, that's it for me now. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Goodbye.